Hey, all you court-appointed listeners, this is Tommy, and we have a special show for you this week. That's why this sounds a little bit different.
This is the audio from our live show, which was recorded on April 27th in Columbus, Ohio, before a live crowd.
A very live crowd. So we had, it was a lively live crowd.
They were a lively crowd, and we got to meet a bunch of them afterwards. It was a good time.
The recording turned out well. There's no edits in this thing, so enter at your own risk. It's still PG, though.
I'd say so. Yeah, I don't think it was too bad.
So it's almost live for you now. It's very nearly alive. Just not quite, but almost.
Yeah, sure.
So to speak.
Whatever that means.
So this is our special edition of Court Appointed.
From our first live show. And we do have one advertiser for this show. And they are responsible for why my face was so smooth during the live show.
Dollar Shave Club, you must be talking about.
I am. I'm talking about Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door.
It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor or buy one of those expensive ones that comes in the big cumbersome plastic box to keep you from grabbing it and running.
The thing is whenever I use my Dollar Shave Club executive razor, I always use the Dr. Carver's shave butter, and the blade just gently glides over, and it's such a smooth shave. The Dr. Carver's shave butter is transparent for more precise shave and helps prevent ingrown hairs and fight razor bumps.
So you too can make the smarter choice by joining DollarShaveClub.com.
So right now, for a limited time, new members get their first month of Executive Razor with a tube of the Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month.
That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter.
After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price.
There are no hidden fees and no commitments. Just cancel anytime you like. But you won't want to.
No, you definitely won't want to. Especially once you use that shave butter. It's amazing. So right now, you can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/court. That's dollarshaveclub.com/court.
So don't play it rough. Play it smooth with dollarshaveclub.com.
Give it a try.
Hey, everyone. Oh. Matt? Is it on? Is it me? Hello? Hello? Oh, hi. Hi. You got an extra minute there due to some technical difficulties. So you're welcome. If everyone could find a seat, chill. I'm sure there'll still be some people coming in, but we're gonna go ahead and get our next show going so that we don't start to run over for the rest of the night. Who's excited for Court Appointed? Yeah. So lawyer Mike Meadows and his dude-like brother-in-law Tommy Smurl tackle pressing issues of the day in a legal podcast geared to educate and entertain lawyers and non-lawyers alike. So please welcome to the stage, Court Appointed!
Court Appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
So, hello, Columbus.
Good morning, Vietnam. I just always wanted to say that.
Welcome to Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
So this is our first live podcast.
Yes. So please be gentle on us.
But not to worry, we've scripted everything out.
Right.
So, and so far we're right on script.
You know, Michael, this makes me think, you know, this being our first live show and all, it kind of reminds me of when Adam and Eve first stood in front of each other unclothed and what he said to her.
What did he say?
Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
And at this point, we've gone off script.
It didn't take long.
So how are you doing tonight, Tommy?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, you know, except for the rehab and all.
Rehab?
Yeah.
What are you in rehab for? I mean, I know you like your craft beers there.
Well, no, it's the physical therapy kind of rehab. Remember, I had shoulder surgery not too long ago, and it was major surgery, too.
Well, now, don't let Tommy fool you. This was a minor arthroscopic procedure. It's not some sort of major surgery.
Well, you obviously don't know the difference between minor and major surgery.
What's that, Tommy?
Minor surgery is when you're getting it. Major surgery is when it's happening to me.
Well, why don't you tell everybody how your major surgery went then?
Well, it went pretty good. I mean, you know, the doctor went in, did the procedure, and you always know it's a good sign when the doctor comes out and he's telling me what a great job he did. So he was bragging on himself and telling me how much better I feel, and I've, you know, just about got full use of my arm again, so that's really good. But I just really had one major concern going in.
What was that?
Well, you know, when you go in there, get ready for surgery, they give you one of those, you know, hospital gowns, the ones that are never big enough, you know, for at least for some of us.
I'm familiar with those.
And they tell you that, you know, tie them, it ties in the back.
Right. Definitely not the front.
No, but I'm there for shoulder surgery. If I could tie it in the back, I wouldn't need surgery.
Yeah, maybe they need to have special gowns for shoulder surgery.
They should or something, but luckily I had Mary there, my wife, and so she tied it for me because nobody wanted to see that, so that was all right. But there was still one other concern that was bigger than that really bothered me.
What's that?
Well, the guy that was giving me the gown and telling me what to do, he says, get undressed, put the gown on. I said, do I need to remove my underwear? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, in case of emergency. Now, you know, I don't know much, but I'm thinking, what kind of emergency is going to arise where they need instant access to my ass?
I have no idea. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor. This is the wrong podcast. You have to wait for Sawbones and ask what kind of emergency they need.
Yeah, that's a good one for Sid. Maybe she could tell me that. But I mean, I'm thinking all the scenarios. I'm thinking, no, they're not going to defibrillate me back there. It's definitely not mouth to mouth. So what emergency brings my ass into play?
I have no idea.
Do you ever have any
live audience?
Do you ever have any lawyer emergencies where you have to get instant access to a client's ass?
The only time a lawyer might have to have emergency access to a client's ass, if that is where their wallet is,
or the other lawyer,
or their other lawyer. No, where the wallet is.
Well, anyway, I didn't have much to say about it. I had to do it, and then they gassed me and put me out. So that was good, but. In the words of Jimmy Buffett, I dreamt me some tremulous dreams.
Well, do tell.
Well, I dreamed that I became part of the building's emergency protocol.
The protocol? What do you mean?
Well, when I woke up, I dreamed that I woke up and I found myself mounted backwards in the wall with a sign on my butt that said, in case of emergency, bare ass.
Okay.
it was disturbing.
Well,
this episode is more about, not just about hospital gowns. We figured since we're doing a live podcast that we would do a live show that we'd talk about censorship and some different issues that have come across when people have been performing live. So there's been a few times when people have gotten into trouble on stage.
Yeah, I almost did on the way here.
What happened?
Well, we were eating at the restaurant just a couple doors down, and I went to the restroom before we left there. And when I got down to the green room and we were getting all settled in and everything, I went to go to the restroom again, and I found my zipper was already down. So I traveled from there to there, greeting people along the way. They took us out on stage and showed us where we'd be, and I was at half mast.
So if there's anybody out there that took a picture with Tommy before the show, just crop it to the waist up. Please.
It's not that kind of show.
Well, now, back in the history books, when we're talking about censorship on shows, the first one that really comes to mind is one of everybody's pretty much favorite performers from back in history. That's Elvis Presley.
Elvis the Pelvis Presley.
That's one of his nicknames, I guess.
It was.
You walk around with your pants unzipped, Tim, and you might be Tommy the Pelvis Smurl.
I don't think I've gotten to that level.
Well, Elvis was slated to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, but he was kind of infamous for his dancing and his, I guess, his pelvis shaking?
His gyrations.
And so when he was on the Ed Sullivan Show, they only filmed him from the waist up.
That was all that was legal at the time. That shows you the standards for indecency for at that time period, what was considered indecent compared to now. You got Miley Cyrus twerking all over people and them hip-hoppers hip-hopping up and down on each other. And I mean, there's no telling what might happen. Heck, you could see that stuff now on the Disney Channel.
Do you know how to twerk?
No, I've never twerked. It wouldn't work for me to twerk. My twerker's done twerked out.
My twerker's done twerked out. All right. So,
nobody'd want to see that either.
I don't know. I've seen Tommy shake a leg on the dance floor.
That was just trying to get to the beer on the other side of the room.
I do recall at Sydney's wedding that I think you had your shirt off on the dance floor, or you were...
Well, the song's lyrics were, I'm too sexy for my shirt. I was just complying with the music.
Very, very compliant of you. Well, going through the history books of censorship and people on stage, the next person that comes to mind is Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison of the Doors.
That's right. And his first issue with censorship was in 1967. And the way the story goes is that he was found backstage making out with a fan and basically was maced by a security guard that didn't realize he was a star.
How do you not know the star of the lead singer of the group that's playing at the place?
I don't know. I'd be kind of upset that if I was making out backstage and get maced. That's kind of...
Well, if you're the lead singer of a rock band, you're supposed to be making out. That's kind of your job. That's what you do when girls come by the dressing room.
It's part of the job description.
Yeah, so, he knew it was a tough job when he took it.
Well, but that wasn't really what caused him an issue. After he was on stage, he was mid-performance. I guess he was started thinking back to what took place, and he basically went off on a profanity-laced tirade talking about the little blue man in the little blue hat, just talking about the police officer, and there was a screaming and yelling.
Oh, I was going in a completely different direction with that. I'm glad to know it was the police officer he was referring to.
Should I ask where you were going?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, the police officer did not take kindly to being sworn at, so he went up on stage and drug him off and arrested him.
Drug him off and arrested him?
Yeah, just for swearing on stage.
Hmm.
So,
but there was a little more to that story than that, though, right?
No, that was the first time.
That was the first time.
Yeah, there was another time. Jim Morrison was pretty popular on stage.
Yeah, popular with the little blue man.
Well, the second time was in 1969 in Miami, and basically he got on stage, and this is actually, you can see this in the movie The Doors. He got on stage and got up front, and this is where it kind of gets a little hairy. He asked the crowd if they wanted to see his penis.
Oh. Can we not say the P word? Can we call it a tallywhacker?
It's not. I don't think it's cool for lead singers to say tallywhacker.
Well, it's not cool to stand up there and say, "Do you want to see my whatever you're going to refer to it?" Maybe we're going to sing the song, "Come on, baby, light my fire," and he was just exposing the wick.
Well, the stories are kind of conflicted about what actually took place and what was shown on stage. And people, the band members, they basically say that it didn't happen. But he was actually arrested for it and prosecuted for it in court and was convicted of it. And in 1970, he was convicted to 6 months in prison and a $500 fine. For showing his tallywhacker.
Did he go to jail?
No, he evidently had a good lawyer, and he appealed it, and then he died.
So he beat the rap.
Yeah,
or the unwrap, if you will.
during the pendency of the appeal, he died in Paris.
Oh, so. That's a sad story.
But there is actually kind of a happy ending to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In December of 2010, the outgoing Florida governor at that time was Charlie Crist, and he was allegedly a big Doors fan. And so he proposed to the Florida Board of Executive Clemency that they pardon Jim Morrison for that crime, since he was actually convicted of it. And they voted, and unanimously they decided to pardon him. So he was good.
He was he was free, but was he still dead?
Yeah. There's some things the government just can't do.
Oh, man.
Yet.
So they can get together and pardon a dead Jim Morrison, but we can't get Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
I know, right?
I don't know what this world's coming to.
Well, next down our list of history, and this is somebody who I had actually never really heard of, but she was, like, really famous, was Wendy Williams of the Plasmatics.
Oh, I remember old Wendy.
Yeah.
That was back in the punk rock days.
Yeah, she was a punk rock singer, and she was kind of a performance artist. And most of her performances were, like, extremely sexually provocative. She was known for wearing tape on her nipples.
Oh, don't say that.
What is it with you and the name for
you
body parts?
You can't say those words. Just say the end parts of the chest.
The in parts of the chest?
Yeah, or something. Let's say nipples.
Everyone has nipples. Why can't you say nipples?
Basically, you can milk anything with nipples, right? Why don't you milk me, Fokker?
I'd rather not. I'd rather not. So one of Wendy Williams' more famous acts happened in January 18th of 1981, and it was at the Palms nightclub in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And apparently, Wendy Williams brought a sledgehammer on stage, where she proceeded to fellatiate the sledgehammer on stage and simulate masturbation with the sledgehammer in front of the audience.
Did you say stimulate it or simulate it?
I don't think you can stimulate a sledgehammer.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't think you could fellatiate a sledgehammer.
I think you can probably fellatiate just about anything, really, if you put your mind to it.
I don't want to. What kind of sledgehammer? Black and Decker. Decker, hell, knocked her teeth out.
Well... getting a little warm in here. So whenever the police came to arrest Miss Williams on stage, they kind of beat her up a little bit. They pinned her to the ground. They were rough with her. And her manager, Rod Swenson, kind of came
Rod
to...
Rod Swenson? Isn't he the guy from Parks and Rec?
It's Rod Swanson?
Oh, well, must be his brother.
Probably. He's from Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He looks like it.
Well, he came to protect her, or try to help her out, because she was kind of getting beat up. And they arrested him, too, for obstructing the arrest.
Well, that's just what a good manager should do. If they've got your lead singer on the floor, arresting her and beating her and punching her in the face, a good manager would go out there and help her out.
You're probably right.
But he got arrested anyway, huh?
Oh, yeah. So the prosecutor basically knew that this case had gotten a lot of attention because Wendy Williams was like wildly popular at this time, and decided what he was going to try to do was be clever about it, and he wanted to sever the cases. So he wanted to try Rod Swenson first and figured he'd get a quick conviction on that, and then after the whole fanfare died down, he'd go after Wendy Williams and get his second conviction. But it kind of backfired.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. So he put Mr. Swenson on trial just for this one simple misdemeanor obstructing an officer charge. And the trial lasted, it began on June 3rd, 1981, and it lasted a week and a half. And allegedly, all these different plasmatic fans came out of the woodwork and filled the courtroom.
Oh, God, I can't imagine what a courtroom full of plasmatic fans would look like.
Well, the jury came back unanimously in about 3.5 hours and found him not guilty. And based upon that kind of resounding victory, the prosecutor decided not to prosecute Miss Williams, so dropped the charges.
Well, that was probably a smart move, or he was going to lose 2 strikes.
And ever since then, the precedent has been that you can actually fellatiate a sledgehammer in Milwaukee, and it's fine.
I don't even know where to go with that. I've never been to Milwaukee.
Do you own a sledgehammer?
No, but now I know why Milwaukee's best tastes the way it does.
It gets the nickname the Beast, honestly. So going through our history of performers, the next one is Mr. Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown?
Yeah. Bobby Brown.
What was he arrested for? I thought all he did was coke and beat Whitney.
Well, he did that, but I think he was probably arrested for that too. But he didn't do that on stage. So he
had a warm-up act before all that.
Yeah,
huh?
we're talking about on stage type crimes here. So
yeah.
And what he did basically was in 1987 he was again in Florida and he was doing a concert, and there was recently a ordinance. It was called a lewd law. It was after the Beastie Boys, because they had been on concert there. And the city, after their concert, felt the need to pass a lewd law, because the Beastie Boys are a little lewd.
I wouldn't say that about them.
Yeah, you know. It was a different time. And so Bobby Brown, he basically, during his show, during that tour, he would always bring somebody up on stage and dance with them. On stage.
Oh, kind of like Bruce Springsteen did with the girl from Friends in that one.
Oh, Courtney Cox?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a little bit different than that. It was a bit more bump and grind.
Yeah.
And so he was arrested for simulating sexual intercourse on stage in violation of local ordinance 8732.
You have to speak clear. I'm still not, are you saying stimulating or simulating?
I said simulating, but I mean, if stimulating sexual acts on stage would be something totally different.
Well, that's true. I didn't know if this was, you know, what kind of show this was exactly.
Well, it was a Bobby Brown concert. It wasn't a peep show.
Okay. We weren't in Amsterdam.
So basically, he was arrested, and his defense was, I didn't even touch her. I was 5 feet away from her.
It would have been a better brag if he said he did.
So, Bobby,
I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
So after Bobby Brown was arrested, he posted his bail of $652. That was it. And within an hour, he was back on back at the concert and finished the show.
By God, that's a trooper.
He was. The show must go on.
That's right. Get somebody else up here and let's do it again.
He said, what did he say? He goes, I'm a crowd pleaser, said Brown, still smarting from what he teamed, from his what he termed a brush with ignorance. I invite a fan on stage at all my shows. I just did a couple of pumps with my hips. There's nothing wrong or nasty about it. It's just a dance.
Just a dance.
That's right.
Well, it was a $652 dance.
I don't think he mind. It was probably a drop in the bucket.
Well, that could be.
I think he had I read also he had a bed on stage, too. I don't know if that was incorporated to his act or not, but...
Well, now I know it's a different kind of show.
It may have been like one of those ones in Amsterdam. Well, the next performer is Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew!
That's right. Now, their album was called As Nasty As They Want to Be. And a court of law had actually deemed it obscene before they even went on tour.
And this had deemed it nasty. It said that in the title. I mean, even the judge that has to see it before he knows it knows that before he sees it.
Your Honor, please take notice that we are as nasty as we want to be.
We warned you. There's a warning label on the album. It's called the title.
Sir, noted, Counselor. So they kind of knew that they were in for a long tour with all their music.
Or a short tour if they go right to jail and don't pass go.
It's true. So basically, the whole tour kind of came to a culmination. There was a few brushes with the law, but everything kind of came to a head, and that was when they were playing Club Futura in Hollywood, Florida.
Florida again!
I know. Why does it always happen in Florida?
You'd think the Sunshine State would be freer about that stuff, but the state is like one big chastity belt or something.
Well, I mean, they do have a lot of retirees and older folks down there. Maybe they're kind of like, you know, what a peaceful, quiet time.
Well, not always. So you go to spring break and stuff like that.
Well, that's true.
It's just a good mix.
Yeah, I don't think the spring breakers have a voter's registration card down there is the problem. So, basically, band members Fresh Kid Ice, Luther Campbell, and Marquis, they were rushed off stage and booked on an obscenity charge. And basically, that was when the whole country started taking a look at obscenity laws and things like that and thinking about laws in general and whether or not, you know, First Amendment rights and things like that and whether it was art form and stuff like that. And there started to be kind of a revolution in these things. There's a piece of Oreo right here.
I didn't put it there.
Eat it.
Eat it. Eat it. He ate it. Hey, Mikey, he ate it.
I got a whole box of these cookies and cream Oreos. I heard y'all love Oreos. So. Want one?
I don't know where those Oreos have been.
Sid gave them to me. It's cool. She's a doctor.
Sometimes she brings home test things to work on from the lab.
Noted.
That was a penicillin-filled Oreo.
I'm chewing now. You have to fill this. Say something about Columbus.
Columbus.
That was easy.
My favorite holiday is Columbus Day. No, that didn't work. No.
So going into this podcast, the thing about when we record it usually, it's at McElroy Studios, which is Sydney and Justin's house. Thanks, guys.
In the basement.
And but we get to edit out all the things that we say that you know might be not good. So
they don't quite make it to the final product.
I had a little bit of a pause whenever we were going to do a live show, but I figured What? Reel him in? Is that what he said?
Leave him in.
Leave him in.
He's been trying to reel me in. That doesn't work.
Oh. There's times when I just look at him and shake my head and say, you know I'm going to have to edit that. So anyway.
It's all the good stuff, too.
As nasty as we want to be.
That's right.
That's what we need to do.
We'll just label it that.
Yeah, we'll put out like a blooper reel, and it'll be called As Nasty As They Want to Be. And it'll be all the times, all the stuff you say that I have to edit out.
I don't think that's a good idea. I'll be shunned everywhere we go.
You're right. You would be banned from Ohio. And maybe West Virginia, too.
And several other countries.
Those are states.
I wasn't meaning states. I know the difference between a state and a country.
So.
That's right, Amsterdam. I was talking about Amsterdam, Ohio.
I love the canals there.
Paris, Kentucky.
There's a London, Kentucky, too.
Well, they're international, I guess.
It is the bluegrass state. I don't know what that means.
Was that all? Is that all the celebrities you got?
No, I didn't finish my Two Live Crew story.
Well, finish it. What are you doing?
Well,
you went down a rabbit hole.
They went on trial, and they were acquitted. They had a law professor who testified and basically said that their lyrics had artistic merit. And then they went on tour the next year, and their album was called Band in the USA.
What kind of professor?
A law professor. Professor Henry Louis Gates.
Henry Louis Yates, can you picture this law professor in his tweed coat and his bow tie, and he's up there going, yes, these lyrics that these young men have put forth, they were just talking about they would like to be in close proximity to accompany a female back to their abode. There was absolutely nothing wrong with this.
Have you ever heard a law professor talk?
I'm just a dude.
They don't all sound like this.
They do in my head.
You've watched The Paper Chase a time or two, I think.
That's the way they all sound. I don't know.
Well,
it's been a while.
There's one or two more, but what artists do you have that you want to bring to the attention here?
Well, I've got old Britney Spears.
Ah.
It seems that in 2010, her bodyguard, Fernando Flores, he sued her for sexual harassment because he didn't like guarding her body very well, I guess. He said that she made a habit of flashing him by doing things like intentionally dropping a cigarette lighter in front of him and then bending over to pick it up, exposing herself to him. And he claimed she would routinely walk around naked in front of him until the situation just became unbearable. He said unbearable, and he had to quit.
Well, I mean,
now I can only imagine this had to be shaved head Britney.
The thing is, if you're a bodyguard,
you got to guard that body.
Yeah, you're guarding the body.
It don't matter what that body looks like. You got to guard that body. That's what you're being paid for. That's the name bodyguard.
It's in the job description.
Anyway, she settled out of court with him.
Well, I mean, a lot of times when you have cases like that, especially if you're a celebrity, you want to try to keep cases like that out of the news as much as you can. And sometimes it just makes sense to settle it quickly and just get it done with.
And not have them say that your bodyguard doesn't want to look at your body.
That's true, too. Well, you know, I guess it kind of backfired because now it's, 2017, and we're sitting on a stage talking about it. So maybe,
well, that's true.
Maybe their strategy to bury it quickly didn't.
She didn't plan on us two dudes. Huh?
That's right.
Well, then there was another one, an actress, now I never watched this, that was best known for Star Trek Voyager, Jennifer Lean. She played Kes, K-E-S.
I never watched Voyager. I watched the original, and I watched the Next Generation or New Generation, whatever that one was.
Somebody has the answer out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. someone
the
knows this one.
The truth is out there.
The one with Data and X-Files.
That's true. That is true. We're mixing metaphors and science fiction shows.
Don't cross the
stream. Don't cross the stream. I tell you that when we're peeing all the time. No telling what's going
to
happen.
Well, it's kind of our pre-podcast ritual. We go to the bathroom at the same time together.
Yeah.
Don't cross the streams, Michael. Gotcha, Tommy.
Anyway.
This just got weird.
Anyway, she had a neighbor that she apparently did not like the way this neighbor was raising her kids, so she confronted her. And then they quoted the neighbor. The neighbor said that she came to her door and started using vulgar language. And then she said, all of a sudden, here come the shirt up. And she started flashing.
Here come the shirt up.
This was a quote. I didn't say it. That's a quote. Here come the shirt up.
I like that. And here come the shirt up.
She said she started flashing and woo-hooing. I thought guys were the only ones that did the woo-hooing. They do the obligatory woo-hoo at their wife when they get out of the shower. And they're woo-hoo.
Where did this happen?
This was in Tennessee. It might have something to do with it.
Gotcha.
And
here come the shirt up.
And here come the shirt up. And then started flashing and woo-hooing. And what respect is that for kids? There was none, I tell you, none. And then she turned around and dropped her pants and mooned us.
There go the pants down.
So she called she called the cops. The cops showed up and found Miss Lean laying sleeping naked on her couch. So she was arrested, but apparently it never went to trial because I could not ever find where it went to trial.
Well, that reminds me of the case where Matthew McConaughey
Too much weed.
Yeah, he smoked too much weed, and he was found naked playing his bongos in his living room.
He had a musical instrument, too.
Right on.
How about our old friend Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Oh, yeah.
In 1989, the Red Hot Chili Peppers played at George Mason University in Fairfax County, Virginia. After the concert, the rowdy frontman allegedly exposed himself to a woman outside the band's dressing room. He was convicted of indecent exposure and sexual battery. Well, now, here's my problem with this. Outside the dressing room, why are there cops coming around back by the dressing room and stuff like that? The dressing rooms, that's what you do there. You dress. That's the name on them.
Or undress.
Undress. So it could be the undressing room. But anyway, you know there's some kind of states of dress and undress going on.
That's true.
So, you know, I don't know. They got him there for that. They said that originally he was given a $1,000 fine for each charge and sentenced to 60 days in jail, but he appealed the ruling and the sexual battery charge was overturned.
What the fine print doesn't say is that he was found wearing a sock over his penis and high on methamphetamines.
Oh. No, they didn't put that in there.
I don't know if that happened. I just made that up. But
You're only adding to the legend. How about our old buddy Billy Joe Armstrong?
Oh, from Green Day. Yeah. I just saw them in concert not too long ago.
Was he dressed?
He was dressed, and he was...
He didn't flash you?
No, he was jumping off speakers. There were explosions going off. If you get a chance to see Green Day, they were awesome. I'd check them out.
Well, it seems that the Green Day singer was arrested for indecent exposure in 1996 while he was after he was dropped his pants in a performance in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, huh?
Yeah.
Does it talk about a sledgehammer?
No, it had nothing about that. But you know what? I bet it wasn't.
What's that?
The best day of his life. How about old shock rocker Marilyn Manson?
That story you just told about them?
Yeah.
That was a dookie. I can do it too.
Marilyn Manson, the shock rocker, he got arrested in Europe for performing in Italy in a thong-type outfit that exposed his bare buttocks.
Don't say buttocks.
Well, that's actually the technical term.
So is nipple. So is penis. Can't you say be back Ittington-son?
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I don't know what N-word Nappington was or whatever you said for nipple either.
But anyway, apparently, even though they're a lot more liberal over in Europe they don't like you to bury your buttocks in Rome because that's in proximity to the Pope. And the Pope doesn't want to see that. That's all I can figure.
You know, there's a Pope hat backstage. I saw it.
A Pope hat?
I should have brought it out. This would have been a perfect prop for your Pope story. If I had put on a Pope hat just now, the crowd would have gone wild.
Quick, run back and grab it. I'll cover.
I don't think I'm allowed to wear a Pope hat if I'm not the Pope. My Catholic school were formative years, but it's been a long time ago. I think that's illegal. I'm afraid it might be smoting.
Yeah. That would be just like the smite fence.
That was one of our recent episodes.
Our last episode.
The spite fence.
Yeah.
Smite.
God, if it what were God, he would have a smite fence.
A smite fence?
Yeah.
It would be full of crawfish and other kinds of things that you're not supposed to eat. It's in Leviticus. You're not supposed to mix cloth and fabric and cotton. And
I don't know. That sounds like Low Country Boil, and I'm eating that. That's what I'm mixing, the sausage and the crawdad and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious. All right, I got one last one.
Delicious sausage.
Now, this guy, he wasn't famous, but maybe he should have been.
Okay.
This man was arrested after he allegedly placed his penis onto the checkout scanner at a Seattle supermarket. According to a police report obtained by the Huffington Post, Christian Fisher was charged with indecent exposure and assault. According to the report, a security guard just beginning a shift at a quality food center on June 22nd noticed a female cashier reacting to something that Fisher had put on the self-checkout scanner. When the guard walked over, he saw the man's, in quotes, penis resting on top of the scanner. The suspect was laughing and didn't make any attempt to stow away his
stow plate. Away?
Stow away. This is a quote. You can't make this up. This was taken from a police report. He made no attempt to stow away his blatantly exposed genitalia. It was blatant, I tell you.
He didn't even have the common courtesy to stow it away.
The cashier corroborated the story, saying she was disturbed and alarmed by the man's actions.
Well, maybe it was like the one where you put fruit up there and you have to weigh it. Maybe he was trying to...
That's a possibility.
He's like scrolling through the list, like, penis.
You know, the girl at the register could have played it
3 ounces. Huh. Who knew?
The girl at the register could have played it off very easily, though. I mean, she could have just grabbed the microphone and said, "Meat and produce department, I need a price check. Register 3. Mixed nuts and cocktail weenies." I don't know. The only other thing I could surmise is maybe he got like a barcode tattoo put on it. And you know how a lot of times these guys go out and they get these Asian symbols put on there and they think it means big, tough guy or something like that, and it really means you dumb Caucasian or something?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think. He wanted to make sure that barcode read what he paid for. So, how else are you going to tell but slap your junk on a scanner? It's like, could be a new pastime.
My tattoo artist said this was the barcode for kielbasa. It's actually it's for sausage, for what did you say?
What?
Cocktail weenies. This is the barcode for cocktail weenies. He lied to me. It's supposed to be for kielbasa.
My
Holy
life is
humanity.
Ruined. Now I know how big this thing's going to get.
All right, Adam, do you have any more?
That was my last famous guy. That was my tale of the grocery store.
Dad jokes. Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs. Oh, if we'd have had a reverb on that in here, that would have sounded good.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where I asked Tommy some questions about some different legal terms we talked about during the show, and he tries to answer them. Sometimes he surprises me with a question or two, which I'm hoping he doesn't tonight, because that wasn't on the script. This has all been scripted. This is verbatim, just went down. He's flawless.
Flawless.
So the first term is indecent exposure.
I'll know it when I see it. It often happens around dressing rooms backstage. So, Michael, I want you to be careful when we leave and go back down there.
There go the shirt up.
And she began to woo-hooing.
Woo-hoo! Indecent exposure is generally defined as, and these usually when we talk about these things on a court-appointed, states have different laws, so I try to just give basic definitions of things, and they change from state to state. But indecent exposure generally is the crime of intentionally showing one's sexual organs in public. And that's like the general definition. But there are some exceptions for it, and usually most states say basically that you have to have an intent to shock, arouse, or offend. And the reason this kind of language is put in there, because somebody might be breastfeeding in public or things like that. You don't want people being charged for indecent exposure or something like that. So that's why you have these kind of different things in there. So that's basically what indecent exposure is.
I see. So it's all right to pee on the wall.
What?
Well, no. You're not trying to shock or arouse or anybody or anything like that. You just got to pee.
Don't pee on the wall.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Obscenity law.
Obscenity law?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those things that means that you did something bad you're going to get in trouble for, and you showed something you shouldn't have showed, or said something you shouldn't have said, or you went to a Two Live Two Crew Two Live whatever concert, and you were nastier than you should have been.
Made my head hurt.
Mine too.
Live podcasting's hard.
Almost as hard as lawyering.
No, obscenity laws, basically laws which there's something somebody does and the materials are deemed to be obscene and they appeal to a person's prurient interest.
Prurient interest.
Prurient.
Prurient.
Yeah, it's
sounds like it has to do with a cat.
P-R-U-R-I-E-N-T.
That goes back to the pilgrims and stuff like that, I think. It's derived from the Latin word pure tan. Look it up.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But Google it up, as Charlie would say.
Google it up. I do like that phrase. Prurient basically means having or encouraging excessive interest in sexual matters. So there's your vocabulary word for the day.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll use that often.
As long as you use the word often and don't act that way often, like...
Oh. Or, at my age, there's not much acting that way anymore.
Since you're married to my sister, I'm kind of glad.
It's like the old retired guys sitting around the restaurant. And the one said, well, my doctor said I'm going to have to give up sex. And the other one said, which part? Thinking about it or talking about it?
And the last term.
There's more? I'm already 0 for 3.
I'll give you a half one on the obscenity law just because I have no idea what you said.
Good. Don't ask me to repeat it.
The last one is Board of Clemency.
Board of Clemency?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that voted Jim Morrison a free man, right?
Yeah, but what is a Board of Clemency? What do they do? I mean, that's kind of what they do, but what
they hear?
I'm looking for more of a definition.
They hear appeals about prison sentences and decide whether to pardon you or not.
The word I was looking for was pardon, so I'm going to give that one to you.
Oh.
Good job.
Oh, all right. can I say? I was expecting one of those birds to come down and bounce there. I said the magic word. The old Groucho Marx show. You don't remember that, do you? Never mind. That's an old thing.
How, you don't even remember that. That was Groucho Marx.
Yeah. What's my word? I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe I dreamed it. I think it was somewhere. I remember something like that.
This sounds like an emergency. I better bare ass.
Google. That's right. Hey, that's my job.
No, it's not. Well, everybody, I think that's going to do it for Court Appointed. This was our first live show, so it was awesome being here in front of y'all.
Thank you for having us and supporting our podcast and all of the McElroy Smurl podcasts you support. We appreciate it.
Yeah, check us out on iTunes.
Find us on, iTunes, Court Appointed, or come find us on our Facebook page and join the group. They correct a lot of the mistakes I make on that page.
They do.
They fill back in the correct answers or the things that I muddle through, like that Groucho Marx thing. Somebody would have a link up there to the correct answer on that.
Here's a YouTube video of that, Tommy. You dumbass.
Yeah, they politely don't say the dumbass part. I know they mean it, though.
And we take suggestions for shows. If anybody ever has any ideas or anything like that, like legal issues they want to know more about or something that popped up, send us a message, email us, put it on Facebook. We're always happy
especially if they're funny ones, because I don't like to talk about serious things.
Yeah. We have trouble being funny. Being funny is hard.
And a lot of the stuff that gets cut out is the stuff about serious things that I say funny things, because it's usually not quite right in the head.
Well, I think that's going to do it. But before we go, there's one thing I promised myself I was going to do if I was on stage here, and that's going to be...
Don't do it, Mike.
Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah!
OH? Yeah! Hey, I did it!
Good job!
What do you think I was going to pull, Jim Morrison?
I thought he was going to whip it out and woo-hoo.
Woo, there went the shirt up. Next, we have Sawbones coming up. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see Sawbones. I love seeing them live. They're awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Well, that was the first live recording of Court Appointed. So thanks for listening.
And we want to say thanks to the Columbus Podcast Festival. It was an A1 experience for us.
Yeah, it was great. They were great hosts, and a lot of great podcasts were there, too. Got to meet a lot of great people.
And we want to say thanks to all the people that turned out to cheer us on, and they took it easy on us. They gave us a few there, I think.
That's right. And thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us on their network.
We hope we can make you proud.
And thanks to all the McElroy podcasts. Check them out if you don't already listen to them.
And the use of their McElroy studios.
Yeah, and use of the McElroy studios. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief. And I think that's going to do it for the live episode. So until next time, this is Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm Tommy Smurl, your other co-host. And I am just a dude.